Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Wednesday, August 5th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Going to have kind of an abbreviated episode today for a number of reasons. Had a sale we had to launch today on both the Big Spur, Gamecock Central, and also on Four Quarter Friday on On3 and Rivals. I want to encourage everybody to take advantage of this. This is a hell of a deal. If you're not a member, if you're a new member coming to us for the first time, which many of you are not, judging by the numbers, right? I can tell you that you can get it for $2.49 per month for 1 year. It's one shot, $29.99, limited time offer. You get Gamecock Central, the Big Spur, all of On3, national football coverage. All that good stuff. You don't have to pay again until next August. That's covers you for the whole calendar year, all the football season, all the transfer portal stuff, the basketball season, whatever happens after basketball season, Kevin Schnall's first year at South Carolina, a lot of excitement around Carolina baseball. We got that covered for you. It's a deal. You're not going to find another deal like that. It's limited. So act today. You can go to thebigspur.com, gamecockcentral.com, and check that out. Also, if you're a high school sports fan, same deal with Four Quarter Friday. $29.99 for the whole year. Comprehensive South Carolina high school football and sports coverage from Matt and Rob and our team at Rivals. So please check that out. That was a big deal. Took up the time this morning. Also have some roofers coming. We got a new roof on the crib. Gosh, about a year ago, and I don't know that they did such a fantastic job, but the wife scheduled it, and of course, on Wednesday, you have, I usually have clear Wednesday mornings, but I had the sale, and I got to get to them in a minute, but we're going to talk a little bit about, in this abbreviated episode of Coffee, one of the key position battles at nickel, and, going to kind of go through that, because camp starts and the competition will begin in earnest. Now, I'll tell you this. When South Carolina signed Quasheed Scott out of the portal, and I think even Clayton White said this, and Torian Gray may have said it too, they didn't necessarily say they were going to hand him the job. Competition is a core tenet of the program, as Shane Beamer likes to say. They don't promise anybody anything in recruiting, and I think that's very smart. And not a lot of schools really do anymore. They used to – some schools would dangle that carrot out for a hotshot freshman. Oh, you'll get the first carry of the season if they're a running back or something. And most schools now, because their guys are getting paid and stuff, they're like, we'll pay you, but you got to come work for it. And so they signed Quasheed Scott, though, and it was alluded to very strongly that he was the nickel. That's why they signed him. She lost Jalen Kilgore. Gerald Kilgore was not at nickel yet. They moved him kind of, I think, December-ish, January-ish. Jaquel Hallman's a young player at the position, is going to be really good, but you needed depth. And then Quasheed could also play some corner, and he's got SEC football experience, and he's a PD baller for Marion. That's my new phrase, PD ballers, because Carolina's gotten so many ballers from the PD. He's from Marion, South Carolina, home of TJ Sanders. Carolina kind of got it on him late in recruiting, and he's already down the road with Kentucky a bit and stuck with the Wildcats. But a good experience up there, played very well, started for them last season, absolutely came in and had a good spring. But Gerald Kilgore, a veteran who's a special teams guy and then a backup who had some good moments last year, got moved to nickel and at his brother's old position, and he's making – and Gerald's Jalen's older brother, by the way, but he's still there. Jalen's in the NFL, of course, and he's giving him a run for his money, and he's on my projected starters list as the starter. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to end up that way. It's very close, but Gerald Kilgore is a very cerebral player, just like his brother. I think what he's shown in kind of his limited action and then in some practice clips I've seen it's one of those, he's shown some good ball skills, he had the pick six against Kentucky last year, has a knack for making interceptions, had a great interception against Missouri. There's a practice clip last year. I mean, Gerald's, had some moments. He really has. And he's a mature guy. Leadership, all that stuff. At nickel, I like him. I want to see, his brother was a very good tackler, very good against the run. That's a key at nickel, because it's kind of a hybrid corner safety. And so I want to see more of that, from him. I know Quay Sheed's a physical player. So we'll see sort of how that battle goes. So here's how I kind of, look at it with that. I think right now Kilgore will start. And I think a lot of it has to do with experience in the system. We've talked about the nickel being important, and I'll take you back to 2023 when nickel play for a couple of games, as far as Mississippi State that lit Carolina up passing game wise down the field in that one, and then Florida and some of the A&M, there for a while the nickel, because they had, I think they tried DQ Smith there and they tried Nick at nickel, and then they finally just said Kilgore. It's gonna be Kilgore was I believe, a true freshman at the time. He was, and so they put Kilgore there, and it solidified things. So that's one thing that they kind of had to work through during the season. But you saw when you have an issue at nickel, maybe with coverage, teams will scheme up to it, and you got that guy in man, and it doesn't work. Nick ended up being an excellent cover guy at safety, but I just think that the back end was where he belonged, and I think the coaches agreed. I mean, yeah, you try different things and all that. You don't know about a true freshman going out there and playing nickel. But Jalen ended up being the guy. And so it's important to have somebody that knows kind of what they're doing there, because your responsibilities and roles do change, playing the run some, playing the pass some, man some, zone some, whatever. So Kilgore, I think, has an advantage with that and his ball skills. I do think Quay Sheed's going to be a big factor. And it's not to say that Quay Sheed Scott couldn't overtake him in fall camp. That's why you have fall camp. They'll compete, they'll battle it out. One thing I know, just because everybody loves, admires, and respects Gerald Kilgore, and he is a leader on the team, if Quay Sheed's the better option, they're going to play Quay Sheed. That's one thing about this staff that I think sometimes when things go bad, people start to kind of want to play the guys on the bench. And I just haven't, and I've seen it through the years. I've given examples of it. And I think I talked about this on a previous episode where some staffs would play guys that shouldn't be playing. Now, the exception, of course, is running back, but we went through all that the last time I talked about it. But I think that, I hear this about Jaden Sellers. I mean, how do you look at the receivers last year in the production and say that, Jaden Sellers was not the best one out of those freshmen? I mean, once he started playing, every game he played in, he produced. Was his brother more comfortable with him? Probably. But, in a year where your quarterbacks, I mean, I don't care why. It's just get it done. And then Jaden, of course, was probably the best wide receiver in the spring, most consistent. So, I hear that about him. I hear that all the time about Beamer. He plays the guys that, and like running back, I think you got a point. I don't think there's anything sinister about it. I just think that whoever the running backs coach has been has had a hard time, outside of the obvious, like Rocket Sanders, identifying the top guy when it's close. I don't think Stan Drayton's going to have that problem, though. He's kind of put the word out that somebody needs to step up and take this job. But this staff ends up, they play, if they're not playing, if there's a personnel move that needs to be made, they'll end up making it. That's a good thing. Win, lose, draw, get blown out, blow out, whatever. That's something that this staff's good at. So I don't think they're just going to throw Gerald out there as a reward, Now, one thing coaches do is you may have a guy that's a little more talented, but he doesn't know the system. And so they'll play the guy that knows the system. I think that's important on the back end of the defense and at linebacker too, because if you go the wrong way or you don't know and you're lost, that creates space. And what do opposing offenses look for? They look for space. They attack space. Well, most offenses do. I don't know what was going on last year with Carolina, but if you leave a big gap, that's usually trouble. And so you want guys that are in the right position. And I think that's the key for Quay-Sheet Scott. Just continue to get better and more familiar with the nickel position at Carolina and the defensive scheme and all that. He's been in another scheme. That scheme is now at the University of Florida, where Brad White, the D coordinator at Kentucky under Stoops, is now the D coordinator. This is a different one. Clayton White is fundamentally different than what Kentucky was running. And so there's some adjustment for the guy from Marion, but it's a fascinating battle for me just because I see kind of the upside of both guys. I don't think either one right now, as things stand here on August 5th, based on their body of work at both places, is someone I'd go, oh yeah, though they won't miss Jalen Kilgore at all. Jalen Kilgore played awfully solid football, to quite good football the entire time he was at South Carolina. Maybe the first half of last year, Jalen had a hamstring injury, and that's the whole reason. And people are gonna shake their head a little bit because he was the punt return safe guy and he fumbled a couple of times, right? So you're like, well, he was the safe guy, and he was the punt returner heading into the season, and then he had the hammy, I believe it was a hammy, and that put Vakari Swain as the punt returner, and boom, there you go, Vakari, touchdown. And so he kind of got Wally pipped in that regard, but he played a lot of good football for Carolina. There's a reason he was drafted. Some people thought he would go higher. The hybrid guys sometimes either go really high, or they go a little lower, because the NFL people and all their wisdom are like, how do I project him? I don't know. Well, you play nickel defense in the NFL and dime, and you have a lot of packages. He probably can fit somewhere. Maybe you're like, yeah, but we don't want to spend the top three draft. Okay, that's fine, whatever. And I don't want to hear NFL this year at all. I haven't wanted to hear NFL at this program since Muschamp left, or since the Muschamp era. Man, those three letters. Goodness gracious. I like NFL football. Don't get me wrong. Just like everybody. I'm like the Bears, like the Falcons sometimes. I used to like the Falcons a whole lot more. But I just keep it the heck out of South Carolina. But the point is, Jalen Kilgore was a really good player. And his brother has shown flashes, and Quay-Sheed's got SEC experience. And there's Jaquel Holman. Jamie Bradford mentioned the other day, watch out for him. I think he's kind of a reserve still, but you need depth. Had a big article on thebigspur.com yesterday about depth and do they have enough? And you can go take advantage of our special to get those answers. I think that you look at him, Holman, he's a bigger guy. He's a guy that is a small town South Carolina kid, baller, Blackville Hilda. They didn't know what position, running back, defensive back, linebacker, maybe. And they ended up saying, okay, Torian Gray ended up, oh, I want him, And so I thought he played well in limited action last season. I thought that on special teams, as a one of the up men on the kickoff returns, they didn't want to kick to Nick Harbor. So sometimes he had several returns last year. So I think he's a promising player. Do I think he'll start at nickel? I don't know. I don't see him beating out those two veterans with SEC experience or a lot more of it at this point, but he is a player to watch. And so that position's kind of deep. Last year, it was either Kilgore or they'd slide Brandon Cisse in to play nickel and put Collier or someone else over there to play corner. That was kind of interesting when that would happen. When Collier was healthy, they'd put him in. So it was one of those things where at their best, you know, to get their best defense out there, you had to kind of shift guys. Now, could the question has come up about Gerald Kilgore playing corner, and yeah, I've heard it twice. Our guy on Inside the Gamecocks in the McKellar Enterprises chat box mentioned it the other day. And then somebody on the BigSpur.com, I'm sorry, Gamecock Central, well, the Insiders Forum, mentioned it. It's kind of hard to say all those words. On our website, mentioned it the other day. Now, here's my hot take on that. I don't think he's a corner based on what I've seen. That said, those observations, in my opinion, are not completely out of left field. You know, like some folks are like, yeah, put Jacarius Peake in at tailback. You know, no, that's not, no, please, no. But he's shown the ball skills that if I could see, and maybe everybody else has seen it, I mean, I don't know, just a little bit more from the hips, change of direction, that kind of thing, which has looked pretty good. I could see that. Now, I've heard nothing about it at all, you know, so I don't know if that's the case or not. I think they like their depth at corner. Now, Quaysheed Scott played some corner at Kentucky, and I don't think they'll hesitate to use him if there a need arises as far as depth goes there. What do I think will happen? Gosh, you know, prediction right now. Don't kill me if I'm wrong on this. I think Kilgore probably starts game one. You know, with a good preseason camp. Now, if he starts slipping and Quaysheed's balling out, you know, then my man from Marion will probably take it. But right, I don't see Kilgore slipping. You know, and then there's always people getting banged up. You know, a guy's a little banged up, so he didn't go the first game. You know, he's back by game two, that kind of thing. Carolina needs to really stay healthy this preseason. You don't want like a disastrous injury-filled preseason. That would. It's not the time for that, you know. Timing is everything in life, and it's also in football. This is not the season to have a very promising roster, and then four or five of your top guys are, you know, hobbled for different lengths of time. That just would be, I don't want to say par for the course, but very disappointing, but something that would probably, you know, a lot of folks just shake their head, but I think it's important to stay relatively healthy this season, even though the depth on this team, in my opinion, it, overall is the best it's been. You still want your top guys ready to go. But the point is with this nickel situation is, it, you know, sometimes if it's close like that, you know, one guy's a little banged up, 70%, then the other guy obviously starts. And that's the beauty of having competition and depth at a very important position within the South Carolina defensive scheme. All right, so glad we talked nickels today. I told you it's going to be abbreviated. Inside the Gamecocks is coming up live from 10 to 1. I'll be in hour number two, and that'll be me and all that. Monty Lee will join us to talk about Jim Thoman, unfortunate passing of a Gamecock legend, really. I, you know, very sad that that he passed on. Battled hard. Storm Thoman was a guy that you know, everybody that loves Carolina baseball owes him a lot. You know, he was kind of Tanner's right-hand man when he got when they were building it, came here with Tanner. It's yeah, very sad to see someone that he was on our show opening day, gosh, 2 years ago when they named the field after Ray Tanner. Just a gregarious, funny, awesome guy. You can see why he's a great recruiter, one of the best talent evaluators in baseball. Monty Lee's joining us at 11 to talk that. David Cloninger is in. Chris Clark from Gamecock Central is in. It is wide open Wednesday. So you can get on and chat it up with us. Phil and I, the Mad Dog and I will be around in hour number three to rock and roll with all of you guys interacting wide open Wednesday in the McKellar Enterprises chat box. All right, take advantage of that special on the Big Spur and Gamecock Central, $29.99 for the whole year. Man, newspaper subscriptions are $29.99 a month. So you get 11 months free of great Gamecock coverage for the whole year. This is the best special. The dollar special was a dollar for several months, but yeah, then but this one's outstanding. I mean, you could actually, it kind of pays for itself in 2 months. I don't know. I would do it. That's about as hard of a sell as you're going to get from me. Anyway, thanks again for listening to Coffee with JC Sherbert. Keep an eye on these nickels, folks. That's going to be one of several. There's about five or six really tough recruiting battles. I mean, sorry, position battles, recruiting battles that are going to happen in fall camp this year. That I could predict. I could say, well, this, that, and the other will happen, but it could really go any way. And I think it'll probably be that way up until kickoff on September 5th, which is a good thing. We all want certainty, right? We want to know the depth chart right now, myself included. I'm not the most patient individual in the world, but it just doesn't work that way. You're gonna have to see them battle it out. One thing I will say is at quarterback, when you're battling it out, the old saying is if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. That's true in a lot of ways, unless you have a true two quarterback system that works. And that works sometimes very special circumstances. Of course, one of the best seasons in program history in 84, Gamecocks had a two quarterback system. But the other positions, I think it's very good to have two guys that can go. Flip a coin. I think that just strengthens your team and sort of avoids a drop off at a critical position when, again, you have a guy that's banged up or maybe there's a target. Do they throw you out for the targeting penalty? Did they change that rule? I'll have to look it up. But maybe he has to miss a game. Maybe he has to miss two plays. Maybe his helmet comes off, and you don't miss a beat. That's the whole point of depth in competition. All right, folks, this has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. See you on ITG or the Big Spur. I'm out. Holla.